They called him Demon Child, for he killed his mother when he came out of her. Naturally, his father always quietly resented him. His brother was a great hunter, but wouldn't let him go with him, saying that he'd scare all the game away. So when his brother would go hunting, he would cover himself in mud and dead leaves, and practice following him secretly. Eventually, he got so good at this that he could follow closely, and not even his keen brother would know he was there. The rest of the village shunned him, thinking him a bad omen, so he spent most of his time in the forest where the animals kept him company. In time, he learned to speak with them, and if one of his friends was threatened by his brother or another hunter, he'd warn them. But when his family needed food, he would send an old or a sick animal that was ready to die to where his brother could find it and shoot it. One day, his brother climbed higher into the mountains than he normally did in search of better game, and he came across the kill of a great beast that roamed those rugged slopes. He stole some of the meat and brought it back to the village. He showed his father and the people of the village the great tooth marks on the bones, and he told them that this beast must be the reason hunting had not been as good as it used to be, and that it must be found and killed. They agreed, roasted the meat and ate it, and began discussing their plan. Younger brother, Demon Child, listened quietly. The next day, he covered himself in mud, rolled himself in gray sand, and tied moss and twigs all around himself so that when he held still, he looked like a pile of mossy stones from the high slopes. He then began to climb the mountain further than he had ever gone before. He had heard the other animals speak of the great beast, and he knew from them that this beast was the feared god of the mountains. He was scared, for no other beast was like this one. It was said to have eyes like the reflection of the moon in flowing water, and it moved like smoke amidst the boulders. Its claws could splinter tree trunks, and its teeth could catch a great writhing eel in a river and not lose grasp of that slippery fish. Yet despite his fearsome nature and ravenous appetite, the mountain god was said to protect the forest and its creatures from the ravages of disease and too many hunters. As the boy climbed, further down the mountain, the creatures of the wild were scattering in all directions as a force of men with arrows, spears, and blades were hacking their way through the forest and beating a path up the mountain. The keen-eyed beasts could also see that they carried the strange branches that shouted out burning stone. They grew closer, but the boy could not move faster as he searched the ridges and crevices of the mountain, because if he were detected, they would surely think he was an evil spirit and try to spear him and burn his body. So he moved slowly, secretively, amidst the boulders until he was nearly to the top of the mountain. Night began to fall. He watched from a distance as the hunting party began to set up camp for the night. This time, they were not to be easily deterred. Without food and exhausted, he crept up into a crevice, curled up in his cloak of moss, and fell into a deep, aching sleep. From the blackness of slumber, there came a strange sensation. A heavy gust of wind blew on his face, and his eyelids dragged themselves open against the heavy tide of sleep, and he saw eyes glinting in the moonlight like a reflection on flowing water. Great huge eyes the size of gourds, glassy and deep as mountain pools, staring down at him. Then the hot wind on his face changed direction, and cool air rushed in from behind him, drawing him toward a great dark muzzle bristling with whiskers as wide as river reeds, and he saw teeth, the kind that could catch a huge eel in a river and not lose grasp of it. "Why does the stone smell like the village ape?" he heard it growl. "Great Mountain God, please do not eat me," he said in the movement of a wild creature humbling itself.
"It speaks without a call."
Another low pulse reverberated in that dusty space, and quietly, "I have come to warn you."
"A dirty stone rings a warning?
another great hot wind, then another sucking cold gust, and with that the boy's scent told him, "I am from the village, but I do not belong there. The forest has held me when they would not. I run with foxes, fowl, and hoofed beasts. I climb with the forest cats. I eat with the wolves. I nest with the monkeys. And danger is near."
"I ate the last one like you, but I will not eat you yet. There is nothing that endangers me, but I find your warning curious."
And so the boy climbed down the slope, followed by the great beast, and quietly he approached the camp. "Do not eat them. They have a great power that you do not understand." The mountain god's eyes narrowed. "Wait here." The boy shed his moss cloak, and the mountain god now saw that he was just a muddy child. But he moved quietly. The boy then crept into the sleeping camp and with great delicacy lifted a heavy rifle and crept back to where the mountain god was waiting. "This is a branch that cracks like thunder, and from it a poison tooth flies like a bird. It flies through skin, bone, heart, lungs, liver, skull, spine. It spills blood from any beast, and they have brought it to kill you. You must not attack them. Hide, please hide." All this took many hours to explain in the language of beasts. And when the boy was done, the sky was readying itself for the light of dawn. The mountain god was quietly amused by this strange cub before him, but the little village ape had him curious. He decided not to kill the sleeping camp. He retreated up the mountain and watched silently from a distance as the boy crept back into the camp, returned the rifle, and disappeared again amidst the stones as the camp stirred from sleep. The mountain god then spent that day watching them clumsily hunt. And the more he watched their slow, graceless movements, the more he grew perplexed by the boy's emphatic warning. So he decided to reveal himself to a passing mountain goat, and he locked eyes with it. It was so gripped with fear that it leapt from the ledge and bounded down the slope toward the hunting party. The clatter of hooves on loose stone was sudden and echoing, and the party's attention was captured at once. Then a branch cracked like lightning, a small cloud appeared and ran away on the wind, and the god watched as blood and lung leapt from the side of the sturdy old mountain goat. It fell mid-run and rolled a little ways down the slope, but nothing had touched it. As the startled hunting party laughed with relief, a dark feeling began to crawl up from the gut of the mountain god. He watched them approach the mountain goat, carve apart the carcass, roast it over fire, eat it, and continue their hunt. That night, he carefully descended to where they had left the bones of the old goat, and he found a rib, shattered and stinking with the strange smell like broken stone. And that old dark feeling crept up again, stronger than before, and this time he recognized it. Fear.